I love this one day, this one special day on our liturgical calendar, poised right in the middle of Lent. It goes by many names, Lateran Sunday from the Latin word rejoice. It goes by Refreshment Sunday. It goes by Rose Sunday for the practice of the use of, the specialized use of rose-colored vestments just for this one special day. I've served churches that have had the luxury of having ample amounts of vestments and rose sets just for this day, one special day in the year. In the English tradition, when it was this day that apprenticing boys out working were allowed to return home in the middle of Lent and to see their mums. And it became known as Mothering Sunday. So this is Mother's Day in England. We have to wait a little while longer. But Mothering Sunday is another tradition from this day that comes from relaxing Lent's rigors. And our attention moves from the long slog of letting go to the new life of Easter. Today, Rose Sunday, Refreshment Sunday, Lateran Sunday, Mothering Sunday. And the question that arises for me about apprenticing myself to this change of perception, this new way of seeing. How might I continue? How might I continue to hold sight of life's deep joys? How might I continue to hold sight of life's deep joys even through the trying, even through the growing, even through the transformative stretches of life? Of course, today's shrine, as I have been calling these lessons, this shrine on our Lenten pilgrimage, the story we visit today on our five-week odyssey of conversion to new life, this story is the story of the man born blind, the man born blind. Funny, isn't it? Or really not very funny, curious. Curious it is that this is how the story has come to be entitled in our tradition, The Man Born Blind. What happens in the story? What's the story about? The story is about a man who Jesus touches and heals. It's a story about a man who gains his sight. Why don't we call it that? It's another story from John's Gospel, rich and complex in meaning. The gist, however, is that in his encounter with Jesus, the man comes to see. And then, he has to deal with all of the repercussions of being healed. And there are many. All of the people and attitudes and systems that were formed around the man being blind, the people, the attitudes, the systems, they each and all resist sight. They resist sight of his healing. They resist his sight. The Jewish authorities don't want a world in which people change. And they don't want Jesus bending the rules. The man's parents, they don't want to raise a ruckus. The townspeople, they have no ability to see this man as sighted. Therefore, they say, it's a different guy, but he kind of looks like that guy that was blind. And quite hilariously, throughout the entire tale, the man is standing there, the man formerly blind is standing there dancing in front of them, seeing for the first time, giddy with good fortune and amazed at other people's inability to even see him. John's Jesus reports, I came into this world for judgment so that those who do see may see, and those who do see, that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. I take that to suggest that Jesus invites all of us to a conversion of perspective, of insight, of understanding. And if you think you see now, if you think you see, you need to see how truly blind you are. I have to ask, how am I conspiring in my own blindness? How am I conspiring in my own blindness? How have I turned a blind eye and lost perspective? How can I regain and retain the rejoicing? I don't know if this ever happens to you, but it happens to me all the time. I get focused on something, something of the kind of worrying kind of thing. Maybe it's an aspect of my work, a desire, a lacking, or whatever. And maybe I get a tiny bit obsessed about it. And then I can go on and on and on and on for a long time, in fact, not really seeing the light of day and not even noticing. Then something happens to pull me to the surface, and then like a cloud cover dissipating into blue thin air, I see all over again. My obsession disappears, my worries go away, and my joy returns. And in that exact moment, whenever this happens, and it happens frequently, I promise myself that I will never, ever, ever, ever again let myself go down that rabbit hole again. I'm going to stay aware this time. This week, I was driving on a long drive and turned on NPR, and there's a series called The Hidden Brain. Maybe you've listened to some of the programs. And the program that was featured the other day was on the research of two academics, a psychologist and an economist. I thought that was interesting. Two disciplines that are not often put together, stuck together, doing a research project. And they're looking at the phenomenon of scarcity in people's lives. Scarcity, the experience of not having enough. Scarcity, which is both real and manufactured. What happens, they said, is that when we have a sense of lacking in our lives, our worlds and even our brains begin to reshape through the experience, and soon enough, all that we see is deficit. All that we see is lack. All that we see is scarcity. And then we begin to obsess about it. The important thing that the researchers noted was not only that it was a common experience among poor people and among others who have some sense of lack, a perceived lack of time, a lack of work, a lack of relationship, a lack of almost anything, and soon the brain begins to take over with the work of managing scarcity. Managing scarcity, and then there's nothing left to help us figure our way out of the tangle. And what's more, the researchers found that people in this situation, when you and I, when I at least, fall into this situation, we lose all long-term perspective. We lose all long-term perspective. We can attend only to the immediate situation at hand, and thus the hole we live in becomes deeper. Well, that was the hypothesis. So they thought that they would go try this out, check it out for sure. And they looked around for where they could study a group of people where this might be occurring, and they landed upon a group of sugarcane farmers in India. What they discovered is that sugarcane farmers in India live a relatively poor existence, but for one period of time each year. All year long they feel very poor, and then once a year something changes. You see, at harvest they get paid. One time a year the farmers get paid. And what they discovered is that for that very short period of time, every single year, these farmers found themselves wealthy, and everything changed for them. Their perspective changed. Their outlook at the world changed. They laughed and they partied. Yes, they did spend a little bit too much. They felt alive, productive, and moreover, they gained eyes to see a greater whole in life. They made better decisions, and they considered their lives and life decisions over a long term. But then, after a little while, when they looked at what was left in their left of their annual paycheck and how many days were left to the end of the year, they slowly dipped back into the scarcity mind frame and repeated the cycle all over again until next year's harvest. There is a kind of blindness, a pattern of not seeing that takes root in us. It lives in ourselves, in our social structures, in our systems, in society. And it is only relieved when something gets through to us. Something awakens us. Something calls us back to life. It happens when we encounter Jesus, who came into this world for judgment, as the story goes. That is to wake us up, to give us eyes to see. Today is Rose Sunday. Today is Refreshment Sunday. Today is Lateran Sunday. Today is Mothering Sunday. It is one of life's feasts that invites us to pause, invites us to look around, invites us to return, invites us to rejoice. A day to quit your job of managing scarcity. A day to quit your job of managing scarcity and apprentice yourself to resurrection, even now on the rising. 4. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Now the winter is past and the rain is over and gone. The crocus appears on the earth and the time of singing has come. Arise, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.